Deuteronomy chapter 22. You mustn't see your brother's ox or his sheep go astray and hide yourself from them. You must surely bring them again to your brother. Again, you see how God foresees human situations. He knows our frame, remembers that we are dust. He knows that if you don't like your brother, and that's one of his animals over there, has got lost. If nobody finds him, he's probably going to slip down into a hole and hurt himself. But I didn't see that because I don't like my brother. And if his animal's gone astray, so it has. No, God foresaw that, and he says you must not hide yourself from them. It's a warning against a sin of omission, and I suggest that most of our sins are not so much sins of commission, deciding that, that's wrong, but I'm going to do it, but things like this, seeing a need and pretending you didn't see. And that sort of temptation is all around us as we live in a world of need. If your brother isn't near you, or if you don't know him, then you shall bring it home, the lost animal, to your house, and it shall be with you until your brother seeks it, and then you shall restore it to him. You must not keep it to yourself. You must not see your brother's donkey or his oxen fallen down by the way and hide yourself from him. You shall surely help him to lift them up again. So again, don't hide yourself from need. Don't pretend you didn't see. And we live, as I say, in a world of need. Do what you can. Do not pretend you didn't see. A woman must not wear men's clothing, neither should a man put on women's clothing, for whoever does these things is an abomination to Yahweh your God. If a bird's nest happens to be before you in the way, with young ones or eggs, and the hen sitting on the young or on the eggs, you must not take the hen with the young. You must surely let the hen go, but the young you may take to yourself, that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days. Well, that's one of the commands in the law that I think is teaching sensitivity to animals. It's like not boiling a kid in its mother's milk. It's like being careful that you don't cut down trees when you are besieging an enemy city. Or fruit trees you were not to cut down. This spirit of sensitivity to others is, I think, being taught here in the law, and it's showing us how sensitive God is to all his creation, and especially to us. You shall not sow your seed as two kinds of seed in the same vineyard, lest the whole fruit be forfeited, the seed which you've sown and the increase of the vineyard. You shall not plough with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear mixed stuff, wool and linen together. So I think the idea is there to teach them the principle of separation, that there has got to be a principle of separation. Just as light was separated from darkness right at the beginning in creation, so they were to realize that there must be separation, not an endless mixing of different things. And it's that inability to tell right from wrong which is so prevalent in our society today. We've got to see that there is a principle of separation between us and sin, the flesh, and the world. When you build a new house, you must make a battlement, like a railing, for your roof, so that you don't bring blood on your house if anyone falls from there. In other words, again, a sin of omission, which arose from simply not caring about other people. That, I built that house, I know how the roof goes, I'm not going to fall off it. But somebody might be up there who is not you, could be a child. So therefore you must build a railing for your roof. You shall make for yourselves fringes on the four borders of your garment with which you cover yourself. Elsewhere they're told that those fringes were to be of blue, maybe recalling the sky. The sky is normally blue in the Middle East. The idea is remember God. Have little reminders of God always around you. Could be verses on the wall in the kitchen. Whatever it might be, have these little reminders of the things of God. If a man takes a wife and goes into her and hates her and accuses her of shameful things and brings up an evil name on her and says, I took this woman, and when I came near to her, I didn't find in her the tokens of virginity. Then shall the father of the young woman and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city in the gate. The young woman's father shall tell the elders, I gave my daughter to this man to wife, and he hates her. Behold, he accused her of shameful things, saying, I didn't find in your daughter the tokens of virginity. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. They shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. The elders of that city must take the man and chastise him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver, and give them to the father of the young woman, because he brought up an evil name on a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not divorce her all his days. But if this thing is true, then the tokens of virginity were not found in the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city must stone her to death with stones, because she has done folly in Israel to play the prostitute in her father's house. So you shall put away the evil from the midst of you. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they must both of them die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall put away the evil from Israel. If there is a young woman who is a virgin pledged to be married to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city and stone them to death with stones. The woman, because she didn't cry, being in the city, and the man, because he has humbled his neighbour's wife. So you shall put away the evil from among you. But if the man finds the woman who is pledged to be married in the field, and the man rapes her and forces her, and the man only who lay with her must die, but to the woman you shall do nothing. For as when a man rises against his neighbour and kills him, even so is this matter. For when he found her in the field, the betrothed woman cried, and there was none to save her. If a man finds a woman who is a virgin who is not betrothed, and lays hold on her and lies with her, and they are found, then the man who lay with her must give to the woman's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. Well, I think that the command that he was not to divorce her meant that even if she committed adultery in the future, he had to forgive her and not do what the law said he could do, which was to divorce her if she'd committed adultery. But no, not for any reason now could he ever divorce her. So I think that was trying to teach the man the very long-term permanence of marriage, whether or not this woman was going to be faithful to him or not, because of what he'd done. So you see in all these commands that God's intention is that man and woman get married and are faithful to each other. This was what we see in the Garden of Eden, where God created one man and one woman, and they were to be married and to have children and to do God's work in the garden. This was God's intention. And although things often go below that ideal intention, we must not lose sight of the intention. All this legislation is really backing up the fact that that is God's intention for family life and for relationships between man and woman.